this morning is entitled The Problem with Finding Christ in a Beggar. So St. John of St. John Chrysostom once said, if you do not find Christ in the beggar at the church door, neither will you find him in the chalice. Now, I have to say, when I first heard that quote, I found it to be, pretty powerful and pretty on point. Now, I should say here that for me, my understanding of Christ in that quote, and in general, is that it's that God part of Jesus. It's something that I also happen to think is in each of us. So instead of Christ, I'll be speaking of God, but think of it more as the God within each of us. Now, that said, for me, the truth of this statement is sort of hard to deny. In many ways, it points to the root of Jesus' own teachings, a message that encourages us to love one another, a message that tells us whenever we've done it unto one of the least of these, we're doing it to God. And from those perspectives, it's absolutely necessary for those who are adherents to the teachings of Jesus to find a way to see God in everyone, and possibly particularly in the least of these, or those who are seen as the least of these, like a beggar. As I share on social media from time to time, if your God causes you to hurt others, to turn an indifferent eye to the hungry and the homeless, to belittle, berate, and bully others, if it causes you to feel superior to others, to discount, dismiss, and disavow science, if it encourages you to damn those who are not like you to a fiery pit, and still allows you to somehow claim that your God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving as you do it, that's no God. That's the worst parts of your humanity wrapped up in visions of grandeur. So yes, if you do not find Christ in the beggar at the church door, neither will you find him in the chalice. Yes, it is important, if it is important for you, to fully encounter God, to encounter something higher than you, some higher good, as you participate in the chalice, in communion, you really need to be able to see God in the face of a beggar. I mean, if you can't, then you really aren't understanding the breadth of this thing we sometimes name God. If you can't find God, if you can't find love, if you can't see something of a higher good in that, the fullness of humanity in the difficult places like the face of a beggar, if you can't find that higher good, that higher love there, then the God you find in the more pleasant places like a chalice, somewhat myopic and ineffectual. However, and this might not surprise some of you, I find myself having quite a lot of trouble with what I see as the intent of St. John's message. Now, admittedly, it is a message that I actually speak of frequently, loving those who some consider to be the least of these. Now, Chrysostom's saying is basically a clever way of expressing the reality that a good way to see those marginalized by society as being more positive than we are inclined to by society's standards is to see God in them. After all, if God is love, and then loving a person, among other things, means seeing God in them. But, as I was saying, I take some issue with St. John of Chrysostom's, and by extension, even with some of my own talks, because of the intent of choosing a beggar. The assumption is that if you can see God, if you can see universal love in the very least of these, a beggar, you can more fully see God. My resistance to this, kind of imagery, is with how it removes some degree of responsibility of the marginalization of people from us personally, and instead casts us in the role of rescuer or even savior. That's not so much seeing God in others as much as being some sort of God or savior to others. I'm left to wonder if the real test of fully realizing the God of love is found in seeing God, seeing universal love, in those that we directly marginalize. I'm left to wonder if the real test of fully realizing the love of God is found in seeing God, in seeing universal love in those whom we directly marginalize. So let's dig into that just a little bit deeper. I'm making the argument that it's actually much easier to see God in someone who needs our help and wants it, like a beggar, than it is to see God, to see universal love, in someone who we dislike, disagree with, or have even disassociated ourselves with. It is much easier to invite ourselves into, it is much easier to invite into our lives a person who was marginalized by others or by society than it is to invite someone into our lives who we ourselves have forced out of our lives. One casts ourselves as the hero, and the other admits that we sort of played a role of villain. Perhaps the lowest common denominator, in terms of people that we must learn to see God in terms of who we must learn to see universal love in, is the very people we have chosen not to love. Chosen by the way we treat them, by the way we ignore and avoid them, chosen by the way we marginalize them out of our lives, chosen by the way we make them the least of all people in our own lives. If we hope, as Chrysostom says, to find God in the chalice, perhaps we must find God, we must find universal love in the person who sits near us in a pew with whom we haven't spoken in months because they had the audacity to suggest that God was something other than we saw God as. Perhaps we must find God, universal love, in the sometimes difficult folks who seek shelter on the steps of our church. Perhaps we must first find God, find universal love in the preacher who challenges us rather than simply makes us feel better about ourselves so that we can make it through the week. Or even harder than that. Perhaps we must first find God, find universal love in the friend or family member who strongly holds political perspectives that can infuriate us, or with our rude neighbors, or with people who won't worship to look different than we do. Jesus once taught us, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Perhaps those that we sometimes think of as enemy or other or wrong are simply a new opportunity to meet God. A chance to understand universal love in a way people who are closest to us are incapable of expressing it. We all marginalize others. We all have persecuted others, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes on a small scale, sometimes on a large scale. Perhaps we can begin seeing those very same people as a chance to receive the gift of love from someone who can express it in a very unique way. Perhaps the only way to experience the fullness of universal love is to learn to experience it universally, even in the face of those that we have pushed out of our lives. What a not-so-novel idea, huh? Now, that's not to say to let hurtful, damaging people back into your life, but it is to say to let go of the hate and the fear and the judgment and to find a bit of love and understanding as it relates to them. I can't help but think that will bring us much closer to the understanding, the largeness of love than simply seeing it in the face of a person who needs our help. We certainly can find it there. But frankly, that's an easy love to find. I'd like to challenge us to rehear the quote from Chrysostom to say, if you do not find God in those you've marginalized, neither will you find God in the chalice. I'm not saying it's less important to see God, universal love, in a beggar than it is to see the same thing in people whom we've persecuted. I still believe very soundly that we must outwardly express a radical love to those that society has marginalized. I am saying, however, that we should feel a little less proud of getting to play the role of hero savior, and instead spend a little more time recognizing the times that we have played persecutor, and then be willing to risk opening up ourselves to the possibility of receiving grace and love from the very people. I'd like to give you the opportunity to respond to the message today or to share with this spiritual community any thoughts that may have occurred to you that you feel like relate. I do remind you to keep it a little concise and to the point so that we give as many people a chance to respond as possible. Those who would like to respond.
Thank you. I'm David, and I don't have to be the only one that responds. Okay. Anyway, first I want to say I was a little concerned that every time we do communion that you're the one that holds the wine, wondering whether that's a sign that only ordained clergy are allowed to handle alcohol.
That is a fact. That is a fact, yes.
Okay, I just want to get that out. And, of course, in your message, I was with you until you said we had to love all of our relatives, and that was a tough one, too. But I was also thinking about a group that Jesus was really hard on, and that was the rich. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you talk about uplifting the poor, well, he was hard on the rich, and I think a lot of people...
Well, and I think it's important to point out a distinction between not loving a person's actions and mm-hmm. still finding something that you can love. And I think what you see in the teachings of Jesus over and over again is that he reacted to people whose actions were mm-hmm. what he understood to be antithetical to love, to a universal love, to what he understood God to be. So... it wasn't, I hate you, you're a horrible person. Mm-hmm. It was, what you are doing is horrible, and you should not be doing it, and you have to change.
Well, it applies to a lot of rich people, too.
Fair enough. Are there others you'd like to share?
I'm reading a book, Dr. Wayne Dyer, The Power of Intention, and he challenges to put in the place of God endless abundance. So, to look at the title, the problem with finding endless abundance in a beggar.
Interesting. the challenge? Are there others?